I think as believers, each and every one of us should be inspired by the Word of God. I think it's not just a book that we read to learn stories and to learn history. I think it, believe it, and know it to be true that it is the book of life. And it's that book of life that changes us and makes us from who we are to create us to the person that God wants us to be. There is no other way that we can get to the, if you will, the callings and the giftings that God has laid up for us unless we understand and value the Word of God. Because the Word of God is God. Why do I say that? Because God said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Even so at the beginning with God. So we know that then that Word became flesh, and then it dwelt amongst us, the Bible says. And we call Him Jesus. And the quickest part of this story is, yes, He died for your sins, He died for my sins, He died for the world's sins. But watch this. He didn't just die for sins. There was a lot more in that package than just sins. There's also restoration. There's also freedom. There's also healing. And I tell you, when all of the areas in your life are touched by Him, there's a word that the Bible says, and He calls the word freedom. With the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And freedom may be a lot of different things to a lot of different people because we're all in different places. But whatever is binding you, whatever is holding you, whatever is preventing you from getting to the thing that you're called to do or you believe that you should be doing, the Lord can set you free from any of that and all of that, not sometime, but every time. And when He does, you too can share in this thing called freedom. Now, with that said, I want to read a scripture to you because it's time that we put some identification on who we are, not just as individuals, but who we are as a church. So John, in the book of John, chapter 8, we'll start with verse 12. I'm going to read from the NIV. But it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, this is Jesus speaking. He said, I'm the light. Jesus calling Himself, I am the light of the world. And whoever, who's a whoever? Point at your neighbor and say, He's talking to you. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness. I'm going to say that again because we just read over these scriptures and we just read them as cliche, but I need you to tune in for a minute because I'm speaking to somebody today. And so whoever follows Me will never, 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 never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, when you look at this word darkness, it's not like when I throw a switch on, it's light. When the light's off, it's dark. That's not what it's talking about. It's a word here, and the word darkness, it says, here's the definition, a brand of moral and spiritual obscurity. In other words, which blocks the light of God whenever faith is lacking. So that means the light of God, the life of God is trying to come through you, but there's something that's trying to block that. That darkness is trying to keep in to try to prevent you from experiencing that light of life experience. So God's trying to light you up, and there's something always trying to put that fire out. That's probably the easiest way or best way said. How many people, many times, have felt like your fire is trying to go out? So He says, whoever follows me, in other words, we're going to talk a minute about that, but whoever follows Me, you'll never walk in darkness. Your fire can't be put out. It's not extinguishable. Do you understand? It's ever burning inside because Jesus said it was, because He is that light. Now, if we take that just a little bit further, let me just identify you, because you are basically nothing but a light. And if you follow Jesus, the light will follow you. Do you hear what I said? You follow Jesus, the light of the world, and the light will follow you. But then watch this. Jesus didn't just stop there. He could have. That would have been enough. Because if you follow Jesus, he's got your back. But he goes on and he wants to nail this down further. He wants to drill it down further. And he wants to put it to you so you understand who you are and you understand what your authority is. And it's in Matthew 5:14. He says, you, point at your neighbor, said he's talking to you now. Now look at me and say, he's talking to me. Say. So he's talking to all of us. He says, you are the light of the world. You. So not only is he the light of the world, but you are the light of the world. And he says, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. What does that mean? You can't hide. Listen, when you light it up, he lights you up. Do you know even when you try to go in darkness, he's there with you? Do you know when you're in darkness, you stick out like a sore thumb? How many times have you been places and people treated you different because they knew you weren't supposed to be there? Listen, I remember back in my craziest day, I'm not proud of this at all, but I remember one time I just had a little too much to drink. I know there's nobody who's ever done that, but I had had a little too much to drink. Vulnerable moment here. I'm going to make myself vulnerable. Many years ago. Let's qualify that. I was in the young and crazy stage, and I'll never forget, we were in a club, and we went into the back room of some club. I don't even know what we were doing back there, but there was a bunch of guys, a bunch of girls, and all of a sudden, I was sitting on the couch, and one of the girls who walked by me, she goes, oh my God, an angel. You don't think that'll mess with you? Especially when you've had a few drinks in your head. I'm like, she just called me an angel. And it was like, the moment she said that, it was like, then all of a sudden, nobody wanted to sit by my part of the couch. Totally wrecked my night. But that began to work on me. And what it was is, see, I was saved, but I was in a little bit of a backslidden state. Anybody ever, I know nobody here has ever backslid, but for a couple of us heathens that are in here, a couple of us unworthy folk, you know, sitting around all you worthy folk. We needed some help. Or as the old timers used to say, we needed some hope. Could you hope us, Lord? See, it had to come in the same package, hope and help. We needed it all. Just hope us, Lord. And I could remember that burned down in the inside of me, and I started thinking, I'm different. I can't do this anymore. And I knew what they were saying. Am I an angel? No, I don't feel I'm an angel. I mean, my wife will say absolutely not. But what she was seeing was the light of God in my life, and it was sticking out. It didn't fit. Why? Because a city on a hill is lit up. You can't hide. You can run, but you cannot hide. And wherever you go, God will find you because your beacon will still be beaconing. I'm a preacher. I can make up words. It'll still be beaconing. Does everybody get the concept? How many times have you wandered? How many times have you traveled in places you shouldn't go? How many times has desire led you away from the calling of the word? And God found you right where you were. Jesus said, follow me, and the light will follow you. Why? Because you are the light of the world. Now, I think, I could be wrong, but if we ever got the full revelation of who we were, we would act different. If we ever understood that we're sticking out like sore thumbs and everybody's looking at us all the time, whether we think they are or not, I think we might behave different. I know I would. Apparently, I don't have the full revelation because I hadn't got all this worked out yet. Now, 95% of the time, I do real good, but there's this 5%. Would anybody say that maybe they're around the same place or maybe you guys are way above me? I don't know. But I'm just telling you, there's this time when I'm still working. I'm trying to put this flesh down. And the way you do it is you start, I have to realize, oh my God, I am not representing myself. I am a light that was sent, because our entire purpose here as believers is to shine your light. We have to bring our light into the dark places of the world. That's what we're for. That's why we were put here. And you, when you do that, are a reflection of Him. You're a mirror image of that light. You understand? Let me put it to you this way. Let me read scripture. James 1 and 22 says it best. Because we listen to the word, we hear the word. So do not merely listen to the word so that you deceive yourselves. You got to do what it says. That's what the scripture says. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and then he's looking, and it says right here, it says, and after looking at himself, he goes away, and then he forgets immediately what he looks like. See, if you follow Jesus, you follow the light, and the light will follow you. But you don't have to follow Jesus. There are times we stray from Jesus. But because we are the lights of the world, the light in us doesn't change. You understand that? You can be full of the light doing wrong things. Some of y'all are still processing that. Good people do bad things. That's why scripture's like, forgiveness, repentance, all of those things are in there. And every one of us needs every one of those things every day. But the goal in soul mission is, how do we know what we look like? If we're a reflection of Him, how do we know what He looks like? It's all we have. Because none of you have ever seen Jesus. Not one person here has ever seen Him. Not one person here has ever seen God. But when you look into His Word, He says, may the eyes of my understanding be enlightened that I may know. See, the only way I'm ever going to know is unless I'm enlightened by His Word. So you see the Word, and then all of a sudden, there's another eye inside you that you can see what somebody's saying, right? You've heard me teach this before. If you say something, you go, oh, I see what you're saying, right? Do you really see what they're saying? Do you smell what they're sniffing? You say, I mean, you know, do you really see what they say? Or are you saying, I have a revelation and I comprehend what you're saying and I can see it just like it's real? Because it is. You got it? So when you look in here, you begin to see who God is. You begin to see what God does. And once you know who He is, then you know what He does. And once you know what He does, you know who He is. And so the only way you're going to know who you are and what you should do and who you are is to look into here. This is your mirror. And the moment we walk away from the mirror, the Bible says immediately we forget who we are. And so I know personally, I'm trying to work these days. I'm still trying to hang around the mirror a little more. You know, I'm going to give you just an example real quick. And this isn't to try to make anybody feel awkward or something, but sometimes you just have to have a litmus test of where you are. See, we think because we've read the word that we know the word. Or you heard me preach a scripture and you, oh, I know that. I know that. Do you know it? Does anybody want to stand up and just name all the major prophets for me? Anybody want to stand up and name all the minor prophets? How about stand up and just name all the books of the Bible? Come on, it's elementary stuff, guys. Anybody want to quote the Ten Commandments in order? Oh, it gets quiet. See, we think just because we've heard it, we know it. Do you know it? Pastor David used to say something that used to shock me. It almost used to, I'll be honest with you, it irritated me. I didn't like it when he said it. He'd say, you can only know God to the proportion you know His Word. And I said, oh, wait a minute, I spend a lot of time with God in prayer. No, he was right. I don't care how long I spend in prayer. I don't care how long I meditate. Unless I'm meditating on His Word, I'm really not spending time with Him in it. Now, I can be with the Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, I can know a whole other side of God. But I cannot know God more than I know proportionate to His Word. I'm telling you this because we're living in a day and an age which you better know what you know. And then you have to live it. It's not about perfection, guys. It's about knowing. And it's not just about knowing who he is. It's more importantly knowing who you are. But you don't even know who to be until you know who he is. Because you're supposed to be mirror imaging who he is. How can you be what you need to be if you don't even know who he is? So we have a responsibility. And I want to say this to everybody. If you ever found yourself in a stuck state? I mean, you're just kind of stuck. So can I tell you this? If you find your place and you're in that position, you've forgotten who you are. Because when you remember who you are, then it reminds you of whose you are. And then once you remember whose you are, you reflect that image and then you can light it up. Just like that. And when you light it up, you are not you, you are him. Okay. This earth is programmed to respond to God's word. Not your word. Not Satan's word. Not the president's word. Not anybody's word. There's only one word that this world that we live in this dimension, that is programmed, and it's for the word of God. It says, actually, that the universe was framed by this word. And whatever God said it was, and whatever God says it is, it goes to the point to say, listen, wherever he sends his word, it will accomplish whatever it was sent to do. So why am I telling you that? Because as long as I'm sending a word, this ain't my word. This is his word. And the moment I speak it, I send it. And the minute I send it, it's going to do something. And that word is designed to create change and to accomplish whatever that thing is to do. So if you don't know the word, how can you send it? How can we change things around us if we can't send it? How can we make our lives different to the people around us if we don't have anything in the mailbox? And then the question is, we accumulate the word, we get these revelations, we understand the scripture, but are we sending it? Are we speaking it out into the world, into people, into the universe? I mean, listen, I'm all about it. I walk outside all the time and I call those things that are not as though they are. I do it all the time. But I spend a whole lot more time sending it to people. Okay, if I'm advertising, I can send a message out in bulk mail. And I think the average is about 1% of the population will read it. So I can send it out there. And I'm not saying it's not making a difference. But when you do direct mail, I'm in your mailbox. And I've got your attention. And I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to a thing. See, because if you're bothering me and there's something in your life that's not right or there's something that's causing aggravation, I'm not coming after you. But I will speak to that principality that's working through your personality and it will be changed. And the problem is we're speaking around talking about people and the Bible says that we're supposed to love our brothers as each other and we're bickering and pointing fingers and calling each other. What are we doing? What are we fussing and fighting about? The Bible says the two of you are arguing. Stop. It says stop. Do a Matthew 18. Go to your brother and see if you can reconcile. He said, then if you can't do it, go find another godly person to kind of stand in as a mediator. And if that doesn't work, go to your pastor. But keep it in the word of God. We're not even supposed to fuss. Doesn't say no strife or no schisms amongst us. But we get so caught up in trying to handle things in our old ways instead of the new man doing it the new way because we forgot who we are. And we don't remember who we are. We don't remember how to act. If we don't remember how to act, we don't know what to do. Well, I'm stuck, Bishop. I can't get here. I can just get to this one place. You forgot. You just need a little reminder. That's why I'm here today. I'm here to encourage you. I'm not here to point fingers or stomp toes. Now, if it stomps your toe a little bit, praise God if it gets you dancing. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is sometimes we just have to be reminded that, man, maybe we don't know everything as much as we think we do. Maybe we think we're a little farther along than we are. But let's just do a tally. How many times have you had a problem in the last week? Anybody here had any problems this week? I got three of them up. I'd hold that one up too, but I would fall. So what I did is I quit speaking to the problem. I just keep going to my friends. I just can't believe this happened. I can't believe so-and-so. I quit speaking to and about the problem. What it is, I start speaking to the solution. Because the only thing that's going to change it is the thing that the world is already programmed to, and that is the word. So I start speaking the word to the thing that needs changed. And the problems in my life right now, all the ones that I'm dealing with, right now I have scripture and I'm letting the scripture do it, because sometimes when I do it, I just make a miserable mess. Sometimes I don't even know how I mess it up so bad, because my intent is so good and I think I have it worked out in my head, and then I say it and it blows up in my face. Am I the only one talking here today? I'm just getting real. I'm being vulnerable so you can see that nobody's perfect. And if you think you are, the fact that you thought it just proves that you're not. Camera people are going to kill me. I'm out of the light. I know that they really won't kill me, but they'll be speaking things about me. Remember, you have to speak kindness and be gentle when you're love. It's all about love. Guys, sometimes we have to visit the scriptures. And we have to apply them sometimes in a way that can be painful. Man, I'm telling you, sometimes scripture will challenge you to the core to do things a certain way. Man, somebody swats you on the cheek and you got to offer them the other one. That's hard to do. You have to pray for those that despitefully use you. I like what Dr. Rutland said. He goes, you know, when I was young in my prayer life, he said, I found relief when I found that scripture. He said, I was supposed to pray for people who despitefully use you. He said, Lord, I pray for so-and-so, brother so-and-so. He's been giving me such a hard time. I pray that you'd heap coals and burn that sucker's brains out. I know nobody in here has ever prayed a prayer like that. Lord, take them out. I need you just to wipe them out. Sometimes it's not easy balancing the word with your life. But I can tell you this way, the more you read it, the clearer it becomes. At first, it's almost like it's segmented. You're trying to do this, and you're trying to do that, and then you're trying to do this. It reminds me when you're playing the piano, you know, you have to look and you have to see that's a C and that's a D, and then those three, then you hit these three notes, and that's a C chord, and then after a while, it all starts flowing together. And when you're playing the piano, you're not even looking at the keys anymore. You're just listening to the music. Well, that's how life is. There's a point where you just keep adding and you keep adding, and it just flows through you. And you're just doing all those things because you just know that's what you're supposed to do. You do those things because that's what feels right to you, because it's who you've become. And the thing you have become starts to look more and more like God. Every day you spend time in the Word, every time the doors are open, every time the church is available, you should be soaking it up, hearing more about how we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to look like, and what we're supposed to look like, what we're supposed to reflect for the world. The Bible calls us living epistles. We're the living letters of God. And people are reading our mail every day. They look at our faces. They watch how we deal with problems. How do you deal with crisis? Are you fussing and cussing? Or are you giving it to God and you're walking with this eerie peace that passes understanding? People are like, how do you do that? See, it's a choice. But you have to have some type of reservoir to be able to pull from. And that I briefly mentioned last week when I was just taking a discussion, but this is something I need to talk about. Because in Revelation 3:14, He's talking to the church of Laodicea. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches. This isn't revelation. This is where God's wrapping it up. This is where he's giving final instruction to his churches. He says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, there are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, and the originator of God's creation. I know your deeds, and you are neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were just one or the other. Now, when I read that, I'm not going to, it stung a little bit. Because I started thinking, ooh, lukewarm. Wow, that's somewhere in the middle. That means you're not all the way. And so I started thinking really quickly, and I put it in the perspective of the church. And I started thinking, man, I started thinking about all the things we used to do. Do y'all remember, when you know, this last 20 years, the things we used to do way back when we got here and we were doing all kind of stuff, church blowing and going, man, we were doubling every week, and the people were fired up. We were driving around planting stakes, defining our borders. Do you remember that? We drove to all the borders of the cities, and we planted stakes, and we claimed that ground. That happened. We went to every gate that entered Ozark, and we proclaimed, whoever controls the gate controls the city. Remember when we taught that teaching? And so, man, we went to the gates, and we spoke to the gates, and we prayed at the gates, and, I mean, we, you know, opened and blessed anything that was coming in and out. We were doing it. How many remember when we used to go door to door? We went door to door evangelism, man. I mean, we had some stories. Now, I'm telling you. We went into all the schools. We were praying in them every week. Had carte blanche treatment. We were on the sidelines over with the football team. Had carte blanche to the football team. Y'all remember when Hurricane Katrina came? Remember that? Yeah, okay. The city hall was shut down. We sent our staff to go down and run the city and help them for the whole week when they were having all their problems, and because they had so many people out trying to tend to the aftermath of that. We sent a whole crew down. Remember? We went. We all loaded up. Matter of fact, Benny Hinn had called and asked. I was supposed to be on doing shows with him in Hawaii. Remember that? And I called and I said, no, we can't go. Our church needs us. And instead, we took a crew, and we actually, some families ended up adopting and are still here because of the calling that is on the life of this church. And there are people that when we were on fire, man, I mean, everything, we were just, I was looking back at all the things we do. Remember when we coordinated and we planned the whole football stadium? We went and redid the whole football stadium. Who does that? And after we did that, the mayor himself came to me and told me that that was the catalyst for them getting to raise the money for the brand new high school over there. You tell me a church can't make a difference? Man, we had a school here. We educated an entire class from K-2 all the way through to graduate, and we took them all the way through and graduated them. And then the Lord transitions to another season. We used to have a daycare. We blessed the kids. We blessed all the family of those people. We had a daycare here for years. We had a Bible college teaching and training people. The Bible, how many people here are graduates? We had Bible graduates in here that are still on the ministry team here today. Many are in other churches now serving in other areas. Other places. That's impact, people. Man, we were motivated. We were fired up. We had it going on. I mean, the Lord was blessing and touching. Do you know every service since we've been here, we've had people saved almost outside of a handful of services. Every service, people are getting saved for over the last past 20 years. We have had the best of the best anointed speakers, some before I even got here, and then some after. But you name anybody that's anybody in the church world, and they have been to this church, and they have spoken to this church, and we didn't ask them to, but they would leave prophetic words, and many of the ministries are not prophetic ministries, and they'll say, I don't know what it is about this church, but there's something prophetic here, and we will always, they would speak something, and they would leave a word that said, we usually don't do this, but, and they would drop a word. Now, the only thing is those words have not come to fruition yet. So what does that mean? It's coming to pass. So, yes, it's going to happen. It's not, is it going to happen? It is happening. And many of them have. Speaking about a move of God that's coming. So maybe it's not here, but it's about to. I mean, I could go on and on. We were on fire. I feel like, I was thinking about then, I was thinking about now, and I thought, man, I almost feel like we're drifting a little bit more towards the church in Revelation 3. I don't want to be that church of Laodicea. But guys, I got to challenge every one of us. Where's the desire? Where's the passion? Where's that fire that burns down in your soul like fire shut up in your bones, the prophet said? Where's the commitment of being in church every time the doors are open so we can hear the word of God to know who we are so we know what to do and how to do it? What about the gifts and the callings that burn inside of you that make you just want a difference? You have to make a difference in this world. That's why you're here. Where are they? Because when they're activated, you can't sit still. You can't sit on a pew and stay there when they're activated. You have to put them to use. I feel like Jesus, I can't put words in Jesus' mouth, but I really feel like Jesus is saying, where is my church? As a church, we may be a lot of things, and we may be called a lot of things, but one thing I refuse to be called as a church is lukewarm. Guys, we need the Holy Ghost of God to light the fire with the glory flames in this place. Somebody shout, light it up. We got to light it up. We need to remember who we are, and we got to get back to remembering what we do. Listen, guys, we need to go outside here. We need to go into the highways, the byways. We need to go in the neighborhoods. We need to walk in the Walmarts, the dollar stores, all the places that we go, the Piggly Wigglies, for God's sake. We need to go, hang out at the Pig Wiggle for a little while. Something. They need some Jesus over there, too. And you're it. You're the Jesus they need. I'd like somebody to say, clean up on aisle 4. I'd like somebody to be over there to clean it up. They think they're picking up mayonnaise. They're about to hear about Jesus. Come on, guys. We got to get some boldness, man. We got to get it back. We're just too complacent. We've laid back. We've leaned back. We've gotten some spiritual fat. We sit here and rub our little spiritual bellies. We're so full. Thank you for that message. Oh, then we try to get up from here. Now we got to go to the buffet. It's 12 o'clock. I'm not singling anybody out. I'm just talking about y'all. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Totally kidding right there. I didn't even. I warned you when you got here. I told you we cut up a little bit, and we're not going to stop. So we've got a leadership that is set in place. You saw him last Sunday. Nate, he's about to get, I'm telling you, boots on ground ready. We're getting ready to go out. We got Remy, Pastor Remy. He's getting ready to light these youth up. They got to know how to fight the good fight of faith. Pastor J and D in the back, don't worry. They're going to train these kids up the way they should go, and they're going to be fired up in those schools. Pastor Chaz, Pastor Caitlin, they're going to raise up this next generation of young adults. And this next generation, come on, we got to pass the torch. We've been carrying it long enough. Some of you young folks, we need you. We need you to be called out. We need you to get on fire. You fan the flames for a little while. Come on now, we got Pastor Guy, we got Pastor Micah, Pastor Carol there for all of you, all of us 50 and older right here. Listen, we're not going to sit on the bench. We're going to get up and we're going to help these young folks and we're going to show them what to do. But we're not going to do it for them. We're going to show them what to do, let them take the mantle so they can go on to the next. Listen, we got to get on to the next thing here. We've got a mission. We're called by God to do what when he says the gifting and the callings are without repentance, I mean, it doesn't change. It's permanent. It is what it is. And we are called as a church for what we're called to do. And we can try to, we've tried to shift and see if, maybe we're too much this way. Listen, we're different. We just got to go ahead and accept it. God bless them. There's so many churches doing great. There's churches of the Highlands, and there's, you know, all these big churches, and they're doing such a wonderful work with what they do. But we're called to this. We're called to something different. I don't know why we are, but we're just called to what we have to do, and we're a spiritual beacon in this, and we're light. We're going to be the light that shines in this area for this crew. We are a lighthouse. Do you understand? And we've been called, it's been prophesied over and over and over. It's like a spiritual hospital in here. People come in here to recover. People come in here to get healed. Spirit, soul, and body, they recover. Then they can go out and they can serve God when they come off the battlefield. It's okay to know who we are and to embrace that. Man, we got to get this thing together. We got to get out in that community. We got to light it up. Okay, I'm just going to have to rush through this a little bit because I want to tell you a little story real quick out of 2 Kings 7:4. It said there were four men with leprosy. They were sitting outside of a gate. Now, you may have it bad in your life, but you don't have leprosy. You don't. I don't care how bad you think you have it, you don't have it that bad. Not only are you dying a sure death, but pieces and parts are falling off of you. It's not a fun life. So they're sitting there, it's in the middle of a famine, there's no food, people are on the edge of death, and the prophet gives the word. Elisha gives the word that by the same time tomorrow, that everything is going to be turned around. Now I'm going to tell you right now, that's, you know, some people say, oh, that's pie in the sky. Matter of fact, there was a gatekeeper there, and the king was leaning on him, and he said, basically, that's not going to happen. I mean, how can that happen? Don't you know how bad things are? I wonder how many times we've challenged God. When somebody has given us a word, and really inside of our heart, we go, there's no way. You have to know there's always a way. And if you can believe and you can have faith, the Bible said you'll never walk in lack of faith. Remember, you'll never walk without the light. You'll never walk in darkness. And the darkness is when you don't have the faith to stay in the light. And if you're following Jesus, he said you'll always be in that light. He gives you a measure of faith. That means you have enough faith to get you through anything you need to go through. I don't care what it is. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care what it says, how awful it gets. There's enough faith in you to light it up. Why? Because Jesus said he wouldn't leave you and he wouldn't forsake you. It didn't just say in Deuteronomy 31 he'd go before you, which he's already done that. Not only go before you, he's with you. Not only is he with you, he said he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never let you down. You've heard me say it before, but surely goodness and mercy, they're on your six. They got your back. So you're surrounded by success. So it doesn't matter what you're facing, what you're going through, what you're going to go through. That will never be the issue when you follow Jesus. The issue in following Jesus is what is the next thing you're going to do when it comes time to go. You got to make a decision. So here's these four lepers, and they got to make a decision. And they're like, well, if we stay here, we'll die. Now, we could go back to the way things were. We could go back into the city, and we can try that. But if we go there, we're going to die. So the only choice they have is we can't stay here. We can't go back. So let's go to the camp of the enemy. Now, they were there going, just looking for mercy, looking to see what would happen. But they made a very important decision that day. And this is what I want whoever I'm talking to, you said you were stuck. You can't stay here. You can't stay like you are. Can't keep doing everything the way you're doing it. You can't go back. Don't try to go back doing it like you did in the last season. It's a different season. Things have changed. The environment's changed. And I don't have time to spend a lot on the story, so I'll just quickly give you a quick Reader's Digest version. So they do. They go to the Arameans' camp, and when they get to that camp, what they find is that the Lord had sent a sound of thunderous chariots, and the enemies thought that the king had assembled the armies against them, so they just ran off and left everything. When they ran off and left everything, there was all the goods, all the gold, all the food, everything. And here's the ones who made a decision. I'm not going to stay here. And I can't go back. But I believe they heard those prophets' words and they said, if we want change, we got to go find it. And where did they go find it? The enemy's camp. And when they went to the enemy's camp, they walked in freely. It was so free, it was too easy. They started taking stuff and they went and hid it in their tents. And they got to look at it all over and they go, we got to go back and get some more. So they go back and they got some more. And they piled that up and they go, wait a minute, this thing we're doing, it's not right. We need to go and share it with the group. And they went back, and sure enough, when they shared it with the king, they went and they found the spoils. It has a happy ending. Yes, just as the prophet said, all that happened. But what you need to know is the one that went into the enemy's camp, when he got victorious, and those four lepers got prospered, and they stepped into their blessing, they didn't forget about everybody else. Church, I think that's a prophetic message that's sent to us as a church. We can't just sit here and do church. We can't look back and thought, well, we did all those things that we talked about. We can't just dwell on what we did. That's another season, and the climate has changed. But the one thing, if we're ever going to find blessing, if we're ever going to find the turnaround 180 where everything breaks through and the blessings of God are consuming us over and over, tracking us down, we are going to have to go to the enemy's camp. We can't just keep hoping that he's going to release some hostages. We got to go get them. Church, I said we got to go get them. We got to light it up. Listen, the overflow is not in here. The overflow is out there. And we've got to go out there to bring the overflow in here. And that means we're going to have to get out of comfort zones. It means we're going to have to make new commitments. And nobody likes to do that because that requires dealing with your flesh. But if you don't deal with it now, God's going to deal with it later. How long can we stay in one place? How far can we continue to push and still somehow feel satisfied? All we need is just a few people to get on fire. Just a few people. And the Spirit of God blows through here and it will consume everything in its path like an all-consuming fire. God took an entire economy from barely making it to more than enough. And all they had to do was step out. So church, I'm putting it on us right now today. Are we going to step out or are we just going to just do this? You just want to pass each other inside the doors and drink coffee together and, hey, everybody, love you. Good to see you. Go back to our comfortable little miserable lives. Eking out an existence. Oh, we got the kids and the grandkids and the ball games. Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom. What does any of that have to do with kingdom? What does any of it have to do with kingdom? That's not, you have forgotten who you are. When you start thinking that way, you've forgotten who you are. We're stuck. I will tell you my entire life. Chaz was with us everywhere we went. Yeah, we made his ball games, but we never missed church. Yeah, we went to all of his functions, but we didn't leave. When there was a function, we were there showing up, helping. What am I trying to tell you guys? I'm not doing, the church is always fine. We always have enough people to help. We always have enough. But the part we're missing is when it comes to you. How can you become fulfilled? How can you become satisfied? How can you become complete if you aren't in your gifting and your calling? You wonder why. Listen, I believe there's few of you in here today that you're saying, I need a change in my spiritual climate. If you're honest enough, I believe you would say that. I've got to have a change in my spiritual climate. And you may even think, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. But something inside of you is just saying, it's not enough. I already know what's wrong. You forgot who you are. You're a racehorse trapped in a workhorse stall. And you keep peeking over, and everything out there is green, and you want to run in the green meadows, but you're in your little stall. You're doing okay. Getting 3 squares a day. Getting taken care of, all your needs met. But out there, something out there, I gotta... See, the gift and callings are working inside of you. You just have a desire to make a difference. And you don't even understand it, but you know you can't quit until you do. And God draws you like a moth to the flame. The Bible goes as far as to say that the Spirit of Christ draws all men. You're being drawn. Don't stop along the way and get sidetracked. We've got to get back to the heart of God. We've got to get back to seeking kingdom first. If you'll just do that, then, he said, all those other things. What other things? Man, there's like 3-4 paragraphs there packed full of all your needs. Everything you possibly ever need is already there. And he said, all that will come if you put kingdom first. I am proud to say, we're certainly not perfect people, but one thing I will tell you, we have always put kingdom first. And I've never missed a meal unless it was a fast. I've always had shoes on my feet unless I chose to walk barefoot. How about you? Somebody needs to say, God's taking pretty good care of me. Go ahead, just say it. See, God's doing his part. And God always will. But the question is, are we doing ours? We're not going to be that church in the Laodicea. We're going to go out here and we're going to light it up. Because if we have more people, we have more souls. If we have more souls, we have more impact. If we have more impact, then we have more kingdom. If we have more kingdom, we have more blessings. If we have more blessings, we have more prosperity. If we have more prosperity, we have more outreach. If we have more outreach, we have more people, and the cycle continues. Church, as a leader of this house, I'm charging you today. Let's go out there and let's light it up. Can you please stand to your feet today? Thank you.